So imagine a single particle falling toward the event horizon of a black hole.
Right, which in standard physics means it's completely doomed.
Exactly. Standard physics tells us this particle has no choices left. I mean, it is on a one-way, totally deterministic track to being just completely crushed by gravity.
There's no escaping that, usually.
Usually, right. But what if that particle possessed this mathematical token it could spend to essentially guess its way out of destruction?
Which sounds like pure science fiction, I know.
It really does.
Yeah.
But today, we are unpacking a framework where that exact kind of token lets a particle or, a person collapse the chaotic quantum probabilities around them.
Altering their own trajectory just by asking a single directed question.
Yes. So, okay, let's unpack this because the mission for today's deep dive is actually incredibly practical.
We are looking at a rigorous mathematical architecture today, centered around a concept called free willing.
Right. And specifically, we're focusing on something the authors call guess theory and the guess element method.
And what's brilliant about these papers is how they map the physics of a black hole's firewall directly onto everyday human psychology.
Which is why we're applying this high-level math to the most paralyzing decisions in your life. You know that feeling when you're facing, say, a massive career change.
Or trying to untangle a wildly complex relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And the sheer volume of unknowns just completely freezes you in your tracks. We usually view that uncertainty as a lack of information, right?
We treat it like a wall we can't see past, but free willing reframes that entirely.
It treats it as a physical, navigable landscape.
Exactly. It treats human choice or our will as a mathematical tool that can systematically dismantle ambiguity.
But before we can actually use that tool, we have to understand how this framework measures the difficulty of a problem in the first place.
Right, and they use this really fascinating concept called semantic entropy.
Now, in physics, entropy is usually about disorder or chaos.
But here, semantic entropy is really about the sheer volume of possible interpretations.
I mean, when you are paralyzed by a major life choice, you aren't actually lacking data. You are drowning in too many possible futures.
The semantic entropy is just way too high.
So to quantify that, the authors introduced something called threshold classification theory.
Which sounds intimidating, but the core premise is quite simple. It basically states that the complexity of any theory or any massive decision isn't some mystical, insurmountable thing.
Right. The difficulty is literally just defined by the minimum number of conditional questions you need to ask.
Just to force that semantic entropy to collapse below a manageable threshold.
And they break this down into a really rigid scale of five levels,
To
right?
do, yeah. So level one is categorized as trivial.
Meaning it takes between zero and five conditional questions to collapse the uncertainty.
Right, the classic example being basic arithmetic, like 2 + 2 = 4.
There's no real ambiguity to hack away there. It's just true.
Exactly. But then you scale up to level three, which they categorize as medium difficulty.
And that requires what? 16 to 30 questions?
Yeah, 16 to 30.
Yeah.
And the papers use the famous liar paradox for this.
Oh, the sentence. This statement is false.
Right. That paradox normally completely breaks logical systems because it loops endlessly.
Because if it's true, it's false. But if it's false, then it must be true.
It possesses incredibly high semantic entropy. But in guess theory, you don't just stare at it. You attack it using a foundational lattice of 100 specific questions.
So it's kind of like playing 20 questions, basically.
It's exactly like playing 20 questions. Each time you ask one of these questions and get an answer, you execute a conditional collapse.
You are physically destroying the ambiguity. I mean, it feels slightly dystopian to reduce human decision-making to a rigid set of 100 questions, but it makes sense.
It maps really well to how our brains actually process a crisis.
Right, because we don't solve massive problems in one giant leap. We ask a question, we see what happens, and that just naturally narrows the universe of possibilities.
And just for context, level five on their scale is open or undecidable.
Meaning it takes more than 50 questions. Or maybe the entropy just never fully resolves.
Right. The key takeaway from threshold classification theory is that a problem is only as difficult as the shortest path of questions required to dismantle it.
Paralysis happens when you try to leap to the final answer in a single bound. Guess theory basically demands that you stop trying to leap.
Which, of course, brings up the obvious hurdle here.
Yeah, if solving a massive problem is just about asking the right sequence of questions, how do you know where to start asking?
Especially when the problem is so vast you can't even see the edges of it.
Exactly. If the universe of possibilities is endless, even knowing the first question to ask feels impossible.
And this is where the source material transitions from abstract theory into a real mechanical application.
They introduced the guess element method, or GM for short.
Yeah, GM.
And when I was reading the section on GM, my mind went immediately to structural engineering. Specifically, this concept called the finite element method.
That's a perfect analogy, actually. The papers practically mirror that engineering principle.
Right, because if you are an engineer tasked with designing a massive suspension bridge, the sheer complexity of it is just impossible to calculate all at once.
You've got wind hitting it from different angles, temperature fluctuations, the weight of moving traffic.
You cannot just plug the entire bridge into one giant physics equation.
The global geometry is way too complex for a single calculation.
So you use the finite element method, you take the digital 3D model of that bridge, and you shatter it.
You shatter it into thousands of tiny, simple geometric shapes.
Little connected triangles or squares, which they call elements. It basically looks like a wireframe model in a retro video game.
Right. And you can't calculate the physics for the whole bridge, but you absolutely can calculate the stress on one single tiny triangle.
Exactly. You figure out how that one triangle behaves, how it pushes on its immediate neighbors, and the computer just assembles all those tiny local calculations
into a massive global matrix.
And suddenly you know exactly how the entire bridge will react to a hurricane.
Well, the guess element method does the exact same thing. But instead of discretizing physical space, like steel and concrete, it discretizes semantic space.
So it takes a massive abstract problem and shatters it into a mesh of localized concepts.
You aren't calculating physical stress anymore. You are calculating semantic entropy within a tiny, isolated boundary.
Which maps so beautifully to everyday life. I mean, think about renovating a house.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it.
You buy an old fixer-upper, and you stand on the front lawn trying to figure out how to rewire the kitchen, replace the roof, run new plumbing, and pick the living room flooring.
All at exactly the same time.
Right. You will freeze. The entropy is completely paralyzing.
Thinking about the whole house is essentially a level 5 undecidable problem.
But GEM says, stop looking at the house. Discretize the problem. Create a guess element for just one single wall in one single room.
You make a localized, directed guess.
Right. You say, we are going to paint this wall blue.
You have isolated a conceptual node. You aren't solving the whole house.
No, I'm just applying a directed guess to one tiny semantic element. And the magic of GM is what happens next.
Through what the authors call the guess interaction matrix.
Right. In the bridge analogy, it's how one triangle pushes on the next one.
Exactly. In GM, it is how answering a question in one tiny conceptual element organically forces clarity into the neighboring elements.
It's this amazing domino effect of clarity. I mean, if I guess that the wall is going to be blue, that decision instantly cascades.
A dark blue wall means the trim should probably be stark white to contrast it, right?
Yes. And the white trim suddenly implies a certain style of modern flooring. By making one directed guess in an isolated patch, I am feeding data into the interaction matrix.
The answers just naturally propagate.
I didn't solve the whole house at once. I applied a local guess that assembled into a global solution.
And what's crazy is that the authors provide a stunning mathematical proof of this using Gödel's incompleteness theorem.
Which is arguably one of the most notoriously mind-bending paradoxes in all of mathematics.
Oh, absolutely. It basically proves that in any complex mathematical system, there will always be statements that are absolutely true, but completely unprovable.
It's a massive high-entropy paradox.
Yay.
It has broken the brains of logicians for a century.
And the authors use GEM to dismantle it.
Just break it right down.
Yeah, they don't try to solve Gödel's theorem all at once. They chop the paradox into 5 distinct guess elements.
Like the triangles on the bridge.
Exactly. They create one element for the formal system itself, one for the provability predicate, one for self-reference.
Wow.
One for consistency, and one for the gap between truth and provability.
So they are literally treating this massive philosophical paradox like a wireframe bridge.
They really do. And then they apply directed guesses to those local elements.
How does that work in practice?
Well, for instance, they look at the self-reference element and ask a binary question from their foundational lattice. They ask, can the system encode its own syntax?
Okay, a yes or no question.
Right. And they make the directed guess.
Yes. And this is where the how becomes really important. By answering yes to that one localized question, they chemically alter the neighboring element.
The provability node.
Right, because if the system can encode its own syntax, it forces the provability node to acknowledge that a statement can actually point to itself.
The semantic entropy immediately drops.
And they show that it takes exactly 6 of these interacting directed guesses to collapse Gödel's entire theorem.
Down from a massive paradox into a totally manageable level 3 problem.
Okay, the math there is incredibly elegant, I will admit. But I have to push back a little on the utility of this domino effect when we apply it to messy human reality.
That's fair. What's the concern?
Well, if I am completely lost in a dark forest, and I use GM to isolate a tiny patch of trees, and I make a directed guess to walk left.
Okay.
What if left is fundamentally the wrong direction? I mean, what if painting that wall blue forces me to buy white trim and both end up looking terrible together?
Right, you're worried about cascading failures.
Exactly. Doesn't the guess interaction matrix just mathematically compound my mistake? Hasn't GM basically just efficiently walked me right off a cliff?
That is a very crucial challenge, but it assumes that your initial guess is a permanent, rigid commitment.
Oh, interesting. So it's not permanent.
No, and this is where the free-willing architecture introduces its absolute most fascinating concept, the mathematical definition of free will.
Because in this framework, free will is not some philosophical, airy debate, is it?
Not at all. It is literally quantified as a dynamical vector field.
Let's translate that for a second, because a dynamical vector field sounds intimidating to non-math folks.
Sure, let's break it down.
A vector is simply an arrow. It has a magnitude, which is how long the arrow is, and a direction.
Right.
So if my will is a vector, it just means my will is the direction my intention is pointing within this decision space.
Precisely. When you are faced with a massive life choice with unknown outcomes, you do not need the perfect answer.
You don't even need the right direction, necessarily?
No. You only need an initial will. Your initial will basically acts as a directional compass that biases which guess elements you tackle first.
So my initial will might just be curiosity. Or, I don't know, it might just be survival.
Right. You point your arrow in that direction and you make your first guess.
And here is how the math actually protects you from walking off that cliff I mentioned. The authors describe the system using what they call will-based linear algebra.
Yes, your will directs your sequence of questions.
But when you make a guess and reality pushes back, say the blue wall clashes horribly with the floor, or walking left in the forest leads you straight into a swamp.
The feedback you get acts as an affine map on a unit sphere.
Okay, an affine map on a sphere. Let's visualize a globe.
Perfect.
If my will is an arrow pointing at New York, and reality tells me New York is the wrong answer, the feedback is negative.
The math of the affine map physically rotates your arrow.
It rotates my vector away from the failure and points it towards, say, London.
Exactly. You don't break. You don't freeze up and panic.
Because the mathematical operation of learning in this framework is simply the physical rotation of your will based on the feedback from your guesses.
Your will adjusts dynamically as you navigate those guess elements. You don't have to have it all figured out from the start because your vector is literally designed to rotate.
Which brings us all the way back to that particle at the edge of the black hole.
The particle with the will token.
Right. In the free-willing model, the particle doesn't need a comprehensive map of the black hole's interior.
It just spends its token to make a directed guess against the quantum foam of the firewall.
And if it encounters a probability of destruction, its will vector just rotates.
It asks a new question, collapses a different probability wave, and alters its trajectory.
It survives the ultimate uncertainty by dynamically steering through local guess elements.
It's an incredible model for resilience.
It really is. So learning is literally just the rotation of your will. If my initial intention is curiosity, and I start asking questions that lead me into danger,
your vector rotates towards survival.
And my next localized guess completely changes direction. I am not paralyzed by the whole thing. I am constantly steering through the parts.
Which naturally brings us to the biggest question of all, I think.
Yeah, if we have this incredible mathematical mechanism for collapsing uncertainty, why does the universe throw so many seemingly unsolvable paradoxes at us in the first place?
Why is human life so inherently messy and ambiguous?
Right. Why not just make it simple?
Well, the sources address this by zooming out to a pretty stunning cosmic perspective. The underlying premise of free willing is that the universe is built from paradoxes for a very distinct reason.
Okay, I'm listening.
If the universe were purely logical, completely deterministic, with no paradoxes or uncertainties whatsoever, it would just be a static block.
A closed loop. like a math equation that is already completely solved.
Exactly. There would be no choices to make, no novelty, no growth, and frankly, no life.
Wow.
Paradoxes, these massive, seemingly unsolvable contradictions in logic and physics, they create what the authors call oscillatory states and conditional collapses.
They are the necessary cracks in the deterministic wall.
The text explicitly states, the universe is not broken by paradoxes, it is built from them.
It is a feature, not a bug.
They argue that paradox tolerance equals scalability.
I love that phrase. Paradox tolerance equals scalability.
A universe that can handle contradictions, that can hold multiple possibilities in a state of high semantic entropy, is a universe that can actually grow indefinitely.
It completely shifts how you view the paralysis of a massive life choice.
How so?
Well, those moments of total uncertainty aren't glitches in the matrix of your life. They're the actual degrees of freedom where your will gets to operate.
Oh, that's a brilliant way to phrase it.
Think about it. Without a dark room, there's absolutely no need for a flashlight. If everything in your life was completely certain and precalculated, your will vector would have zero magnitude.
You wouldn't be an active participant.
You'd just be riding on a conveyor belt. Right, survival is about possessing the will to ask the best directed questions.
It is about actively navigating the ambiguity rather than just waiting for the ambiguity to clear itself.
We have covered some seriously deep terrain today, from the event horizon of a black hole all the way down to painting a living room wall.
It scales pretty wildly.
It does, but the practical application here is incredibly powerful. The next time you are feeling entirely overwhelmed, standing at a crossroads with no map, do not try to solve the whole universe at once.
Do not try to calculate the physics for the entire bridge in your head.
Exactly. Use the guess element method. Break the massive high entropy problem down into a localized grid of tiny, manageable conceptual elements.
Establish your initial will, whether that is curiosity, ambition, or just survival as a directional compass.
And just start making directed, qualified guesses. When reality pushes back, let your vector rotate. Let the interaction matrix do the heavy lifting as the dominoes of clarity start to fall.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, there is one final thought emerging from these texts that is definitely worth lingering on.
Oh, let's hear it.
If free will can be mathematically defined as the dynamical force required to navigate and collapse paradoxes using guess elements.
Okay.
And if we're currently building artificial intelligence systems that can run these exact mathematical guess paths millions of times faster than a human brain.
Oh, wow.
Does that mean we are inadvertently building machines that possess a mathematically stronger will than we do? When the deep uncertainty of the future arrives, who is really going to be directing the guesses?
Oh, man, that is a heavy one to end on. A mathematically stronger will housed in a machine.
Something to think about.
We will definitely let you mull that one over on your own. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a fun one.
Keep embracing the paradoxes in your own life. Keep allowing your compass to rotate when you hit a wall. And most importantly, keep asking the right questions.
We'll catch you on the next one.
And remember, when you're standing at the edge of that dark forest without a map, you don't need to see the entire path. You just need to take out your flashlight, point it at the nearest tree, and make your first guess.